On February 20th, Dr. Lerone A. Martin came to UCSB's Multicultural Center and discussed his most recent book, The Gospel of J. Edgar Hoover. He reveals in his lecture how Hoover and the FBI teamed up with leading white evangelicals to bring about and embed a white Christian America. His research draws on thousands of newly declassified FBI documents, including a civil lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Justice for FBI files on Billy Graham. Dr. Lerone A. Martin is the Martin Luther King Jr. Centennial Professor and Associate Professor of Religious Studies and Director of the Martin Luther King Jr. Research and Education Institute at Stanford University. He joined KCSB for a conversation regarding the lecture that he had delivered. The conversation begins talking about the impact of embedded white Christian nationalism on those who don't align with religion or Christianity.
Part of the danger and the damage that was done to our democracy was the discrediting of other faith expressions and those who don't have faith expressions at all, that those populations were seen as suspicious, they were seen as being anti-American, they were surveilled, they were discredited, and they were not seen as people who were allowed to participate in democracy in this country.
Dr. Lerone then segued into how different people were impacted and engaged the interruption of democracy.
You know, there's a long history in this country of protest and people who were working hard to try to push this country to be true to what it said on paper, that every human being was created equal, and that America was a place where people who were citizens had the right to participate in democracy. And I think we have a long history in this country of people who have engaged in protests to try to make that a reality. The most probably outstanding example, maybe the most iconic example in this country, is the civil rights movement. And we know from what I cover in the book, research that I've done about the role the FBI played in trying to discredit the civil rights movement, especially Martin Luther King Jr. So I think that this book, and specifically, but American history more broadly, has a number of lessons for us about how do we engage in the democratic process to try to hold those who are in power, to hold them accountable, and to try to bend the nation to be true to what it said on paper. I think the civil rights movement is a great example of what we can learn from those who went before us about what it means to participate in democratic protests and what it means to try to broaden the spectrum of who has rights in this country. And I think that while the civil rights movement is not something we should look to, we're going to copy everything they did, right? But I think there are lessons there that I try to illuminate in this book, but I think more broadly in American history that we can apply to all that ails our society today.
Thank you. And then I have another thing, the whole like deconstruction of that, what goes on in your book, I feel like it also stems into a little bit of morality, how Christian white nationalists grapple with their cemented conceptions of guilt and innocence and how they kind of reflect that onto non-religious people of color. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a great, 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 great point, Brandon. I think certain types of ideas around morality. One of the things that the FBI was so good at, and J. Edgar Hoover in particular, and I think white Christian nationalists have followed in his footsteps, are to look at their perspective not as just that, not as their perspective, that their idea of morality around sexuality, marriage, guns, music, anything around the ideas of what's good and bad, that they take those ideas not as their perspective, but elevate those ideas as being divine precepts, right? That their ideas are actually coming from the divine. And when they do that, when Hoover did it and when it's done today, then it allows you to dismiss other ideas around morality as somehow anti-God or somehow engaged in a cosmological battle, as opposed to simply engaging in the democratic process of disagreeing with one another, debating one another. And that's one of the challenges, I think, with dealing with white Christian nationalism or any group that decides to elevate their perspective to divine precepts, is that they are sure that they are right and that other groups are wrong, and not just wrong from a different perspective, but actually fighting against God, that these people are evil, right? And that's what the FBI was so good at doing, at casting its enemies as being evil, as being against God, being anti-American. And the FBI was really brilliant at that. And we see that happening today with white Christian nationalists in this country.
Dr. Lerone then leads into his book, The Gospel of J. Edgar Hoover, How the FBI Aided and Abetted the Rise of White Christian Nationalism, and delves deeper, hoping to shine light and guide different perspectives on the FBI.
I think what this book does is it provides a new, unknown insight into the history of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Most people think about the FBI from television shows, both in the past and today, as this organization that is primarily involved in crime fighting, particularly interstate crime. So, you know, kidnapping, car thefts, drugs, domestic intelligence as well, right? But what this book does is show that the FBI was built in part by a leader, J. Edgar Hoover, who was very much so had commitments to ideas around America being a Christian nation. And this book shows about how Hoover's ideas around America being a Christian country shaped the very formation of the modern FBI. Everything from FBI agents going on spiritual retreats and being formed and fashioned to see themselves as spiritual soldiers, to the FBI working with white evangelicals to popularize white evangelical ideas and publications, and working with white evangelicals to discredit other faith expressions and other movements such as the civil rights movement. So I think what this book does is it gives a different idea of what the FBI was, and perhaps can help us understand why the FBI functions the way it does today because of this unknown history that I try to bring to the fore. Yeah.
Can you talk about your investigation and how you carried that out, how you found out certain things about the FBI, how you related your study and your interests?
You know, my interest started, I actually thought that I was going to write a book on FBI surveillance of religious radio. But then it turned out, as I started making Freedom of Information Act requests, I started finding that the FBI was not surveilling everybody, but the FBI was actually partnering with some people, working with them, hoping to launder information, promote certain kinds of materials over others. So the process then, I started making Freedom of Information Act requests upon religious figures, not who I thought the FBI didn't like. That was my focus originally. I shifted to, let me make Freedom of Information Act requests on ministers that the FBI might like. So finally, when I got to Billy Graham, the FBI started playing loose and fast with Freedom of Information Act rules. And so eventually I actually had to sue. So I filed a lawsuit against the Department of Justice for the FBI file of Billy Graham. And that really helped to unlock the key of what this book is about. And that I started to see there was a pattern of the FBI working and promoting certain types of religious figures over others, because they saw certain figures as pushing the narrative of America as a white Christian nation. And that lawsuit then led me to other FBI files that helped me to see the FBI's role and promoting magazines like Christianity Today and others. So it was a wild goose chase at times, in the sense that I had to file a lawsuit in order to get some of the documents, the FBI files that I used to write this book.
And this might be a question without an answer, because this might be a little far-fetched, but can you talk about, because you said how the FBI pulled from religious leaders that they deem reliable,
yes,
to spread their actions. Yes. Are there any diplomatic relationships behind that, or was it religious leaders within America that they sought out?
You know, that's a great question. You mean, like, were they international figures? Is that what you were thinking? You know, that's a great question. I did not look at international preachers. The FBI would have liked. But I did, of course, come into contact with preachers who were traveling overseas and what the FBI thought about that. The FBI, and part of my lawsuit when I got the FBI file of Billy Graham, part of what I discovered was that the FBI was very upset and concerned when Billy Graham tried to go into Poland and was not admitted into Poland. They were very concerned about that, I think, in part because they saw Billy Graham as someone who was going to export certain types of American ideals. I put American, of course, in quotes. And also concerned about preachers who were, visiting the former Soviet Union, who were, trying to deliver Bibles. The FBI wanted to make sure these individuals were not, communists in disguise. So they're very concerned about the international travel of certain preachers in this country, preachers who are prominent via on radio or television, and what role these people might have been playing in the geopolitics of the era, especially around the Cold War.
Dr. Lerone then talks about the FBI's treatment of Martin Luther King during the Cold War.
Yes, the FBI's campaign against Martin Luther King Jr. is one of the most shameful moments in American history, without a doubt. The extent to which the FBI went to try to discredit Martin Luther King Jr., was just despicable. It's was not about King's criminal activity, because there wasn't any criminal activity there. It was simply based on his ideals, that he was being surveilled and really attacked because of his ideals that America should be literally be the land of the free and the home of the brave, that it should be a place where people's skin color, their religion, or the whatever their faith commitments were or no faith commitments, were all citizens in this country and were made in the image of God, is how King would have saw it. That American capitalism was out of control. It was producing, King thought it was producing, economic exploitation and, of course, war. He was concerned about the Vietnam War. Because of these ideals, the FBI decided to surveil him. They put microphones and bugs in hotel rooms where he traveled, in his office in Atlanta, and did their best to try to get dirt on him that they then used, as they say in their own documentation, not evidence that would stand up in court, not evidence that would stand up in front of a congressional committee, but evidence they thought they could use and launder, give to journalists, hoping journalists would publish the information to try to bring King's name, to try to discredit King, and to really change public opinion about him based on his own personal behaviors. And that is just unprecedented, right? The Federal Bureau of Investigation using taxpayer money to supposedly protect the country from crime, but was using it to police ideals and political thoughts, especially Martin Luther King Jr., and they did their very best to discredit him. And that campaign really, really went into overdrive after King's I Have a Dream speech in 1963 in Washington, D.C., and continued even after his death, and trying to make sure that the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday did not come to pass. They worked very diligently even after King's death to try to make sure his name was dragged through the mud, and they worked really hard to do that. So the campaign against Martin Luther King Jr. and the ideas that he was articulating as a minister brought him into the crosshairs of the FBI, and it's one of the most shameful moments in American history, that this person that we all recognize now as an American icon at one point in time was considered by the FBI to be the most dangerous person in the country.
Dr. Lerone continues the conversation when asked about white Christian nationalism in politics and government.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're seeing a resurgence in our politics today of people saying that, America is a Christian country, right? And so when people make that claim, what does it mean then for people who are not of that faith, right? Or people who are of no faith at all? And, it also is interesting because when people make that claim, they're thinking about a certain kind of Christianity, right? They're not thinking about the Christianity that Martin Luther King Jr. practiced and preached, right? That was about a progressive notion of expanding the franchise, that people, no matter their race, creed, color, gender, background, should all be treated equally in this country and should have access to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? King's Christianity sought to expand who was included in that category. the Christian nationalism we see today really wants to narrow the franchise, right? That only certain people really belong in this country. Only certain people deserve the right to participate in the democratic process. Only certain people deserve to have, you know, housing, right? Have a livable wage. And I think that when people use that term, they're thinking of a Christianity that was very different than Martin Luther King Jr.'s. So I would say that for people who are Christian today, and I include myself in that category, right, we've got to do a better job of articulating the kind of faith that recognizes human life and that recognizes, right, that all human beings are equal and not see the idea that Christianity is this narrow thing that we hear articulated by certain people, some very loud voices who want to say American is a Christian country and that a particular political party is the Christian party. We've got to push back on that because King articulated a Christianity that runs opposite and against that notion. And that type of Christianity is open and welcoming to all people, whether people of faith or people of not of faith. But it recognizes that all of us were made in the image of God and all of us, right, that human life is valuable no matter what one's faith expression is or if they don't have a faith expression. I think we've got to, those of us who consider ourselves Christian, we got to make sure that we articulate that message. Because if we don't, I think we'll lose a whole generation of folks such as yourself and other students and other young adults who only think of Christianity as this very narrow thing that espouses hate, that espouses difference, and that espouses nothing but the abuse of power. There's a different kind of Christianity, a message of Jesus that King tried to preach, and I think that is alive and well in this country, and we've got to make sure that we continue to revive that voice so that we can push this country to be what it says it is on paper.
Dr. Lerone provides more resources to help educate and provide a safe space for everyone.
Reading, of course, I would say I think reading Martin Luther King Jr. Is another great place to start. We often hear about King, but I think reading him, reading what he wrote and what he said is great. One speech that I would point to is a speech he actually gave at Stanford University. It was a speech called The Other America, and it's available on YouTube, actually. The Other America, Martin Luther King Jr., you can watch the speech, watch the video. It's also, the transcript of the speech is also available online. That'd be one place to start about thinking about the role of faith in politics as articulated from Martin Luther King Jr.'s perspective. I think it's so important to read King and not rely on secondary sources and interpretations of him, because if you just do a Google search or if you look on social media, you know, King is doing everything from, you know, selling, you know, trucks and cars to, you know, the FBI even tweets every year on MLK's holiday. So I think it's important to actually read King and King's ideas around faith and politics. And The Other America is a wonderful speech that he gave that really encapsulates some of the things that he believed in.
All right, perfect. For KCSC News, this was Brandon Yee with
Dr. Lerone Martin, man. Thanks for having me. It's a blessing and a privilege to be with you.
All right, thank you.